Rain was, there were sometimes 6, 8, at the most 10. And on each raid, we had some objective in mind. We were instructed to try and do this, try and do that. Go and blow out a dugout, or go and bring back a couple of prisoners, or whatever. How we maneuvered to accomplish this, I've forgotten. But it was done so slick. We have to remember, of course, that the Germans weren't asleep. They had their men on the front line also. So how we did it, I don't remember. But we got between two of them. Two of us would then enter the trench. Another fellow, either right or left, would tap his tin helmet or cough or make some noise to attract the attention of the guard at the dugout. He would naturally turn to see. Oh, excuse me, I backtrack here for a moment. When we first started, we carried rifles. And later, rifles were very, very awkward to pack under and over barbed wire through concertina wire and various wires. A Colt revolver was issued, and that is what we used from then on. Now, as the German soldier was attracted to the left, for instance, as prearranged, when he looked back, one of our revolvers was 5 inches from his nose. Down would go the rifle and upwards go his hands. I come with you, yes, please. So we say up, and away he would go. How, I don't remember just how we accomplished all this, but I made more raids than I have fingers and toes cut. After my visit with the major, and after having seen my brother, I run across our battalion medic doctor, who on occasions had been a second in my when boxing in tournaments, etc. Hello, Jeremy said. Damn, you look pretty tough. Let's see that scratch you got under your eye. And he looked at it. Okay, I'll put a couple of stitches on that for you later on.
That's okay, you can be heard from back there, so just relax.
I beg your pardon?
You can be heard from back there, so just relax.
Many of these French places of residence, farms, etc., had a large enclosure. Hugh Cairns and his crew were guarding the entrance of one of these. Within the enclosure were possibly 200 prisoners or whatever. I do not know. But Hugh Cairns and his crew were at the entrance. And he turned his eyes to speak to one of his men. And that instant, a German standing in the center of the prisoners pulled his revolver and shot Hugh Cairns, and he died. Within 2 seconds, the man, his second man, took the gun over, killed the officer and possibly 15 or 20 others, and had they not screamed to high heaven, he'd have shot them all. Cut. Here is a description of the hardware battalion bombs carried when on raids or in action generally. To the center of your belt, carried your Colt revolver. To the left and right were 7 bombs. And if we carried Stokes shells, they were hung on the side of our legs. Now we were pretty well covered, and we had lots of hardware.
The bombs, where did you carry them on the belt?
They're stuck in the belt there.
On the pin?
No. Mm-hmm. My grand grenade has a lever to the side, held by the thumb. You can put that on if you like.
Yeah, it's on.
The hand grenade is held in the hand with the lever attached to the detonator, held by your thumb. As you heave the bomb, The lever flies off and the bomb is detonated, and you count 1, 2, 3, 4, explosion, 5. Got that? Now, where do I go in there? With a Stokes shell, I have forgotten how we detonated a shell before throwing it in a dugout. But I recall I had another hare-lip friend, Tiny Tuchus, a Welsh boxer. He was only as big as a minute. However, I had used up my 2 Stokes shells, and little Tiny comes up, "Jim, I think I hear something. Give me a Stokes shell, will you? Just a minute." And he fixed his Stokes shell and threw it down, and we carried on from there. Okay, cut. Returning from one raid, just before dawn, we came across a Fritz, obviously with the artillery. He was just setting up his telescope and was busy with what he was doing. And we checked, just a minute, I want to backtrack. First action, take the cork from a rum jar, burn it over a candle, rub it on your hands, thence on your face. Thereby we were all black, except our eyes, hands, face, and whatever. Except in one instance, when we ran across a Welsh outfit to our left, we only extended so far on Vimy, and the Welsh or British took over. And on one occasion, we couldn't understand the Welsh, and they couldn't understand us. And it was a near calamity till someone in the Welsh section said something in English that we could understand. Okay, check, that's that.
Okay.
Now we'll go back to our prisoner. We crawled upon him, and he didn't see us. And he was tapped on the shoulder with a revolver. And when he turned and the revolver, "Ach, ach, what, what?" "You speak English?" "A little, yes. A little, yes. I was England 2 times, yes. The football once. The chase the fox with horse 2. Okay. You got something else besides?" "Oh yes, you take everything." So telescope, revolver, whatever he had, we relieved him of this and led him down to our headquarters. At Quentin headquarters, he was interviewed by the officer in charge, I have forgotten who. And as the prisoner was placed before him, he simply said, "And what were you doing in the front line, or close to the front line?" "Och, I was merely looking over the line of the English." Good. As we proceeded and returned from these raids, we were on the crawl, of course, and always within reach of the man before you. The man behind you could touch your foot. You could touch your foot of the leg of the man preceding you, and so on. Anyone in the line who thought he could hear something or see something would merely tap the man in front of him, who would in turn tap the rest of them. The man behind naturally would stop. And on one occasion, there was the copycat Fritz with his patrol, dressed in a copycat fashion, and they were within 10 feet of us as they crawled by. Okay, you can cut.